The following is a conversation with Florence van der Moser, one of my dearest friends and one of the people that gave me the inspiration to start this podcast. He is also the originator of the name Back to the Stone Age. In this conversation, we delve in many different topics, and I hope you will find them of inspiration. This is Back to the Stone Age.
Okay, well, what's the situation like? I'm hungover as shit. Francesco's doing better than ever.
We had a sauna.
We had a sauna today. We did well. I made a bet with Francesco today that for 200 euros, I pay him 200 euros if I don't drink for an entire month. So it is now the 12th of May, and if this entire month I don't drink, he buys me a sandwich at the end of the month. Yes. And if I do drink, I must pay him 200 euros.
A fair and balanced bet. Yes. Right. But wait a second. Why is that so? What is your relationship with alcohol?
I mean,
why did I come to this drastic bet?
Yeah. I mean, I was not drinking alcohol for maybe like 3 weeks now. I was drinking alcohol, but the 2 months before that I hadn't drank any, and I was feeling amazing. And then King's Day came around, and this big party in Amsterdam is whatever, and then I drank that day, and because I just said like, it's King's Day, so I'm allowed, you know. And then actually from that point on, I didn't stop drinking. And how long ago is King's Day now?
Yeah,
it's like 2 weeks.
Almost 20 days.
Almost 20 days.
15,
so
yeah.
I've been constantly drinking. Well, not every day, but since then I've just given up again. And we were talking about it in the park. And it's just the thing with me. Once I do it, I completely give up all hope, sort of. Just
you exaggerate. And
then,
you exaggerate.
I exaggerate.
But yeah. Why is that?
Also, I drink, and then on King's Day I did like, I was drinking and I felt terrible because I drank the night before King's Night. I drank, and King's Day I drank both. I felt terrible because of King's Night. And then I just, fuck it, I'm gonna get through this, I'm partying. And then I started really drinking a lot at King's Day. And I also did some mushroom drops. You know what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? You know what it is. And, I mean, those made me feel amazing, though. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You've done them before?
Yeah, I've done shrooms, yeah.
Yeah. No, but like the drops.
I've done microdosing.
Like no. Like this was like
drops.
Bottle druppels. Yeah.
Right.
Drops.
Okay.
So I just give up at that point.
But why is that? Why is that alcohol makes you giving up?
I mean, it's so addictive. I get so high. Like I get on a high, such a high. I'm so good as well. I'm still sharp on alcohol, usually. But and I'm funny. Or
it's a mental state that you are in when you drink that you are addicted to.
Yeah, I'm all addicted right. to that mental state. Right. Of
what is good about it? What does it make you feel like? What does it make you feel this good? Or what of it does it make you feel this good?
By the way, we should introduce this podcast.
Oh, we already did. Wait.
Back to the Stone Age. Hey, it's great. It's the name of our podcast right there. This is our podcast. We're starting it today.
It's an idea of Florence.
What if nobody sees it? Fuck it, right?
It might be likely.
Huh? It might be likely nobody sees it.
It is likely.
Yeah.
But I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck as well.
So let's keep on talking.
Yeah, let's keep on talking. Alright. So, it's an addictive state, yeah. And I'm doing so
wait
well.
Wait a second.
I'm doing so well.
No. I made a question.
Yes.
What is addictive of that mental state? Because, Luca, I can tell you, with regards to my dependencies that I'm or addiction that I'm trying to fight, I can more or less quite roughly can pinpoint what is the mental state that I am addicted to in that moment.
The mental state
What is it?
I am addicted to is, I guess not. I guess not having to worry about anything, and feeling sort of frivolic. Yeah, like happy. Like I get extreme.
Loser. You get loose.
Loose. Yeah, loose. Yeah, like yeah, looseness, happiness. Just forgetting about stuff, you know?
Do you think it's a common theme among young people of our age, having this sort of reluctance towards alcohol?
A reluctance?
I mean, the exaggeration, okay, probably in every epoch, in every generation, there has been people exaggerating with either alcohol or any other drugs whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, is it? Do you think is it common that people do exaggerate these days and then have reluctance towards it and are ashamed of it and they want to change? Or people are just more thoughtless, they just go for it and they don't give a fuck?
I think when I look at my friends, I barely know any who have any skills in or sort of emotional awareness.
Let's greet them. Hi.
Hi. By the way. Yeah, barely. Yeah. Fuck them. Hi, Sam. I'm not naming names. Sorry. Hey, fuck. I don't need to name names.
All right.
So, okay. So, I barely know any of my friends who are actively trying to... I feel they do feel it, but... It's such a cool thing to do, you know?
Exactly, they just don't care.
They don't care, yeah. They don't care about how bad they feel and whatever, you know?
Alright.
Yeah.
So in general...
Yeah.
Okay, not only your friends, but in general, do you think there is becoming more common to be aware of the fact that alcohol is an intoxicant, is a drug? Because nowadays, my feeling is... especially, like, we live in Amsterdam, so there are many drugs. For example, many weed is drugs. Legal, mushrooms are legal. There are many other, and also there are a lot of other drugs that you can find. The thing is, sometimes when I talk to people, a common theme is that they do not regard weed as a drug. They say, but weed is not a drug. Like, they say, drug is like a cocaine, MDMA, this kind of stuff. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
This is completely false. Yeah. And it is completely misconceiving of the actual nature of the substance. And in this regard, I might be taken as extreme, but I do consider weed at the par of alcohol, at the par of any other drugs. They are intoxicant. Then, of course, what they do differ in are the consequences, the usage that you can make of them, sure. But they are all classified to me under the label of drug.
Like, yeah.
Alcohol is a drug, is an intoxicant.
Even sex. No, it's sort of gambling. It's also a drug.
Okay, wait a second.
Because you were saying...
No, wait a second, but sex, not intrinsically. Like, sex does not... Okay, sex can
alters your state of mind. Sort of.
Sex does alter your state of mind.
Okay.
Biologically, might do very well to you. Yeah. And mentally you can get hooked up on it, I agree.
Yeah.
But it is does not born as an intoxicant. Alcohol is by definition an intoxicant.
Yeah.
Weed is by definition an intoxicant.
Yeah.
Cocaine is an intoxicant.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. True. Gambling, okay. What about gambling? Because to be honest, I don't know about if you have any friends.
I have some friends who are like gamble degenerates, yes.
Yeah.
Fucking unique.
All right.
Calling them out here.
So, so basically, when I was in high school, it was very, very popular where I come from in Italy. Mm. It was pretty popular among people to make a competition in the bet. Like go at the betting center and bet on football, but on much more. Okay, and that was something that I have a friend, that kind of a friend, some guy that I knew.
Yeah.
He got hooked up on betting,
and
he went on to slot machine.
Slot machines? No way!
I swear.
Anyway. Is he a slot machine zombie?
I mean, not zombie, but like he fucked up
every
thousands,
night.
Thousands, and thousands of euros.
He goes every night
of his parents or family, or actually I think a grandfather, but whatever. No, I swear, it's a true story. Like, it's this guy that I know not very well, but I knew very well at the time when I was back in Italy, in my high school and middle school. This guy got hooked up on betting and fucking the slot machine. And it's not, you know, one of those, you say, old people that you see at the slot machine, pim, pim, pim. No, probably someone that just plays a lot.
Does he play online?
To be honest, I don't know, probably. It's like, okay. But whatever. And the thing is, I do believe, like, to be honest, I don't know. Because with regards to this, probably we should be talking to someone that is older than us to try and understand, is this a common pattern for the generation? Or is our generation getting more hooked up on some sort of addiction, whether it is alcohol, weed, gambling, or whatever? Because, the way our brain is being sort of raised, it's not very appropriate as a term, but the way we are nurturing our brain and our cognitive capabilities in this generation, this age, is very dependent, not dependent, relies a lot on short-term stimuli.
Yeah, yes.
Dopamine hits, yes. Which are, first of all, our smartphone.
Smartphone, yes. Definitely.
TikTok, Instagram, all this bullshit, okay? And then, of course, when you have a more serious problem, you do have a drugs problem, you do have gambling, I mean, sex problem, I've never heard of them as of now, but...
Yeah.
Do you think also your friends did some wild gambling?
Nah, it's... Or betting? But we go back to... You're going up and down. I want to stay with the topic of the short term and why we drink alcohol. Because I think it's very important to also note these days we have a lot more access to, for example, research to see if if alcohol is bad for you.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, is it good? We have a lot more access, right? People are much more knowledgeable. Yet we still don't choose to do it. Why is that? Why don't we choose? Because we all know.
We choose.
Because back in the day, we said cigarettes were good for you. Cigarettes are...
Yeah, because back in the day, there was when our parents were our age, there was not a lot of
knowledge.
Like, it was actually fostered.
Yeah.
But the thing is that now cigarettes are not fostered anymore. This is actually, I'll say, a positive trend that I saw. 50 years ago, cigarettes were treated as alcohol. Like, you wouldn't see smoking kills in the packs, and they were actually fostered in society, advertisement, this kind of stuff. Now they are not. And they are not banned, but simply they are restricted. You see the label, smoking kills. But still we have alcohol. Alcohol is fostered in our society. It's promoted, at an advertisement level. Okay. Yeah. And what I hope is that by this trajectory, hopefully we will not ban, but say restrict alcohol, publicity and advertisement, and fostering it, and we'll stop doing that. The thing is, at the same time, this is contradicted by the fact that, for example, more and more countries are working towards legalizing drugs like weed. Now Berlin,
they're in Germany.
Germany legalized weed.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not fostering it, agree, but it is making, of course, more accessible. Sure. So
I'm wondering. So the short-term distractions, right? Like your smartphone, like Instagram, Facebook, right? Do you know if they trigger? Would that trigger drinking alcohol in young adults?
What do you mean?
Like, you said it's an addictive behavior, right?
Yeah.
It's, again, the short term...
Yeah.
It's addictive, right? And would that, in turn, does it have something to do with drinking, intoxicating yourself?
Well, they are sort of two different sides of the same medal. Like, one is intoxicating your brain with these short-term stimuli, which keep your brain busy, because being, first of all, alone with your thoughts, which is, nowadays, it's, I'd say, a big hope to have, but being alone with your thoughts and committing to something for a long time. Now, these two things, nowadays, for our generations, are becoming increasingly rare and more
committing,
difficult.
Committing to something they for a long
effort.
Time. Yeah,
they
like not drinking, that takes effort.
No, okay, but wait a second. Committed to something, I mean, like, reading a book. for 1 hour. How many people that you know can sit down now and read a book for 1 hour?
Yeah.
Like, how many?
No.
I think I know
zero.
Zero. I don't want to be. I would say I don't want to be. In Italian, I would say sborone. I would say that I
asshole.
Yeah, I don't want to be an asshole, but I can do that.
Yes.
At least because me for a long time I've been training myself to do that.
I
fucking woke up at 5 a.m. till 8 with no checking of my phone. Right now, even I don't check my phone until 11.
Yeah.
So it's all just by myself. My study, what I want to do.
Yeah.
If I say I want to read one book for an hour, I do it.
Yeah.
But of course, I need to cut the space, the time. The thing is, this lack of concentration, it is something that I actually saw also an episode of a podcast about by Gemma, this girl that does the psychology of your 20s on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And she said, our attention span getting shorter. And basically, she looked at the research, she looked at some statistics, and the answer is basically yes. Like, we have a shorter attention span than in the past.
Yeah.
And we are, I'll say, getting more and more hooked up on very, very brief moments of pleasure.
Yeah, very brief moments of pleasure. And I was actually reading the book The Way Way of the Superior Man by David Deida. And he actually said, like, look, sometimes it's also important, especially for a man, to be alone, to actually seclude himself in the forest, let's say, and just, or that, or he said, if you want to practice it, just sit in your room for 10 minutes. Don't do anything. Don't read, don't work. Just let yourself
get bored. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember? Do you remember? Okay, now, literally, try to remember the last time you got bored. Like, you got bored. Like, wait a second.
I practiced it, actually.
Do you practice it?
Yeah, okay. I practiced it.
Ah, you practiced it.
Yeah.
Right.
Once. Because
if I have to... Okay. After that, before that, like, it is literally... I swear, if I am being honest, the last time... okay, either I practice it in the sense that I am either waiting. For example, I am on a train, or in a train I have to wait. Or, for example, I am in a public office, I have to wait. And, of course, in this moment, I always have my phone available. But I always say no. I don't check my phone. I am with my thoughts. I am with my mind.
Yeah.
But before that, like, if I have to literally go, and this started when I came, I moved to the Netherlands. I came to university.
Yeah.
Before that, high school, middle school, before, the last time I got, like, genuinely bored, as a kid does, was basically when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, when was in
kid,
elementary
yeah.
school.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
having a smartphone, before having Xbox, the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you had, but I swear, even I think even before then, the last year of elementary school, so I think like 8, 9, I remember those moments where you were alone in your fucking room and you had a space of 1 hour or half an hour and it seemed fucking infinite because you didn't have shit to do, okay? And you were like, what the fuck am I doing now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were just trying to come up with some shit to do all time. I would say
Lego, bro. You would like
exactly.
you would like.
I did.
You would like get the sheets and build a fort or something out of nothing. You know
exactly. What,
or you would have a coin and throw it in the corner or something. You know?
Anything. Exactly.
Just,
but that is the thing.
Yeah.
That is like if I ask literally, we are in a park. If I ask 100 guys of our age or 30, around 30, 20, 30, the last time they got bored, they cannot remember it. Like,
no.
I am like 100% sure they cannot remember it.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy.
Yeah, it's super easy.
What is to you the power of getting bored?
Well,
why is getting bored? Because, okay, we are preaching
the thing is
of getting bored, but why?
No, okay, I want to stay on the topic. So, the thing is with me, it's super important. I think it's important for me to let emotions be emotions, right? And or boredom, for example, it's just a state, which is a state. You don't have to flee it. It's not you flee all the time from, say, feeling angry. You start drinking. You feel sad, you smoke a joint or whatever, you know? You flee from your emotions.
Yeah.
And just like being happy, being bored is also an emotion. It's just a state. And why do we need to flee from that?
Yeah, but why?
And that's important. It's important to teach yourself. I think it's important to teach yourself to be bored.
We agree sometimes. On this.
Yeah.
But why is it that we, us included, of course, but in general our generation, is so tempted and does it every time, falls into the trap of fleeing boredom and finding 99% of the time the short-term stimuli of checking your phone and scrolling, scrolling. And whatever. Why is that? Why do we flee boredom?
Why do we flee boredom?
Why isn't it something that is fostered? Why don't you see people getting bored meaningfully, like I'd say spontaneously? Why?
Why?
Because I can tell you why people do check their phone. Because they're bored.
Yeah, they're bored, yeah.
Okay, but why do they want to escape boredom?
Yeah, why do they want to escape boredom? It's not a nice feeling to have.
Why?
It's not an amazing feeling.
Why?
It doesn't give you dopamine hits.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it doesn't... It
That's
doesn't...
True.
Huh?
Then probably, or I'll say, the why, like, you know, you can always ask a why to everything.
Yeah.
Okay, probably... The ultimate answer is because chemically, biologically, the reaction that takes place in our brain is such that boredom does not make arise any pleasant reaction in our brain, and thus we are not pleased with it. Whereas scrolling with our on our Instagram on our phone makes arise a pleasant chemical reaction to which we react. And we are we get a little bit more hooked up on it. So either is just chemistry or
and then there's
also because it is not encouraged.
My question behind that is, why is it bad? Why is getting the dopamine hit bad for you? It's just why is it bad? no, but I want to know your knowledge about that.
Hey, okay.
Why is it bad? Why?
Okay. So with regards to this.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also again, if you stay objective, it's also just an emotion you have, but it's
of course
it affects you in a certain way.
Okay.
It's not good for you, you know? Why?
Because okay, practically.
Yeah.
Okay, I can maybe start telling it practically with regards to what I see in my case, and maybe from there I can generalize in more broader terms.
Yeah.
Okay. Practically, I saw that when I get hooked up on scrolling on something, my motivation decreases.
Yeah.
So after I scroll, I feel bad or I feel that I've wasted time.
Yes.
And after that, I am less likely to have a productive bout of work, whether study or anything else.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
One.
Yeah.
Second, it decreases my attention span, which is what we just said. But that is something that you can genuinely feel. Scroll a lot on fucking Instagram, get fucking dumb watching a TikTok and whatever, and then go try read a book for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Like your brain is fucking, you know, the monkey of The Simpsons, like, bang, 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 bang. Literally, it's fucking... Okay. So attention span getting shorter. Second of all, third of all, is because generally I believe in the fact that knowledge is if I can choose to get hooked up on something, I want to get hooked up on knowledge, on knowing things randomly, and then one can say yes, you can also get to know things in a YouTube video on anything, biology, whatever.
Indeed,
sometimes I do that. I watch YouTube videos explaining mainly physics, cosmology, or whatever. But I much rather read. Why? Because it keeps me, it keeps my brain, let's put it this way, on a certain threshold, on a certain type of frequencies.
Yeah.
Okay. When you are scrolling your phone, your frequencies are much higher.
Yeah.
Okay. Are in this threshold. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're there. Pa, 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 pa. Look, I saw this clip of Andrew Huberman. He was at Chris Williamson, the Modern Wisdom podcast.
Yeah.
And he said, think of a dog. That is how do you call it?
Digging
In a corner, okay, looking for a treasure, okay, digging, and finds a little reward, and then it keeps on digging, and finds a little reward, and keeps on digging. We will say that dog is mad, okay, but that is precisely us when we scroll. Why? Because social media will precisely built in that way, meaning they are built such that you, not always, but every once and then, frequently, you do get that short dopamine hit of the content that you fucking love about food, football, anything, about anything, okay? Yeah. And then you keep on wanting more, and then you keep on scrolling. Yeah. It's the same thing. We are like a dog, dinging, dinging, dinging.
I found it. I found it. I have it.
Exactly. And I do want to pursue knowledge in a more fashionable, traditional way. I read a book. I surely do watch videos.
I have a good one. Don't you think as well? I have a good one. Okay. Don't you think that that dopamine hit, because it's so often you're digging, right? You're looking for the thing, and you find you find that dopamine hit, right? Mm-hmm. You have it, and you experience that so many times, right? Don't you think that feelings like boredom, for example, just sitting in, make those dopamine, when you do get those dopamine hits of getting a girl's number or accomplishing a business deal, when you feel those, if you don't scroll on your phone, you probably feel those moments in a way more ecstatic way, because you're not experiencing those dopamine hits constantly, you know?
Well, okay. Okay, so what is dopamine? Dopamine is about basically reward.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Reward.
So you can get reward by scrolling, and you can get reward if you close a contract, if you talk to a nice woman.
Yeah.
Okay, anything. You get a good grade, anything.
Yeah.
So when you, what happens when you hook up your dopaminergic system, so related to dopamine, is that you are basically shifting drastically the rewards related to what happens to your life. So basically, you are so fucking happy when you're scrolling, okay, because you scroll like a fucking addict, okay, but then when something, not better, but something different, good, happens in your life, probably, this is my assumption, or this is what I can infer, you are not as able to give it the most appropriate, value to this reward, to this good thing that happened in your
life. Explain me again.
All right. When you get fucked up on scrolling, and you are okay, what happens is that if you get some other type of reward, as I said, closing a contract, talking to a woman, getting a good grade, probably you are not, at least this is what I can infer, you are not able to give it the proper value because you are fucked up.
Yeah, because you're fucked up.
Like, how you say, it's like you can make a very similar analogy to this way, that you cannot properly assess the magnitude of something that happened to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is what was the question?
No. Yeah. The question was, you're agreeing with me. You're saying,
it fucks up your
It fucks up your.
It's called a dopaminergic system. So basically, what you give value to, change.
Yeah.
And that's bad intrinsically. It's bad. Because you give value to maybe different things, which are not maybe per se bad, but you value the intrinsically good thing that you should be valuing a lot, maybe you value less.
Yeah.
Why? Maybe because they were fruit of a long process of pursuit. Example, a good grade, for an example, takes a long time to achieve. You don't do that, you can't achieve it overnight, right?
No.
So getting a good grade, if you have your dopaminergic system fucked up, maybe it's not as rewarding for a person that is completely fine, because this person knows that for good things, to build good things, takes time.
Yeah.
This other person knows that whenever you want, can go and scroll on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that grade is suffered more because you are not able to wait, you are not able to stay there, stick to it. Okay, don't expect a reward immediately.
Yeah.
Okay, and you will...
It's the immediate reward, it is. For me at least. Saying I'm on my couch and I'm coming back from the gym, let's say. And I'm fine, but I sit down on the couch and I'm immediately bored, right? I'm immediately bored. And so I grab my phone and I have an immediate sort of relief of my boredom.
Yeah.
and I'm immediately in another world, and I don't have to be present. Mm-hmm. Let's say. And yeah, you know how many people say you have to be present, live in the now, and so and so. But that's exactly what's happening in the moment. And I think also people.
What do you mean?
Look, even being in a moment means also that you're bored. It doesn't always need. To, yeah. It doesn't always need to be. Be actually, present and be happy. You know?
No. But actually, everybody most of the time, most of the time, it's like that. Like most of the times, people that are bored are actually the most present ones.
Yeah.
Instead of living on Instagram or maybe even studying a lot.
Yeah.
So if you study a lot, you are. But not hooked up on the study, but you are engaging.
I think it's told wrong to people. People always are told like be present, be happy, you know. Be happy.
Accident.
They always tell us, you know, be happy, be present. But what I think it's important for people to know that. Look, being present means that you're gonna be bored. You're not gonna have to. You're not gonna be happy all the time, and that's fine. You know.
Sure.
That's
I
fine.
Agree. But the thing is,
because objectively, it's just another emotion, just like being happy. Just like being jealous.
But Flo, when you say objectively, it is just another emotion. Like, yes, but we are built to go to drive towards what we like and to run away from what we don't like.
Yeah.
Like, this is intrinsically built. Because if we were built to run towards things that we don't like, evolution would prevent us from developing. Okay. So that is
the thing. But even jealousy, jealousy is something you can't enjoy.
Are you sure?
Can people enjoy jealousy? You think?
Toxic people do.
Yeah.
Toxic people do.
Yeah, they do.
And it's not like a small portion of people. Probably it is what we call toxic people. Maybe is not offensive, but you know, very broad and too general. Yeah. But in general, those kind of people who have sort of a perversion. In craving a girl in the unknown situation of not having that girl, or vice versa, of course, or not.
Yeah.
So when you are in the doubt of, oh my God, what this girl is doing, that I'm texting to, I saw her, she's hanging out with another guy, maybe it's just a friend, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Some people, superficially, maybe, they tend to reject this sensation, reject this feeling and say, I don't like this feeling, but maybe this is what hooks up this person to the other one, the feeling of craving.
Yeah.
Because they crave this girl.
Yeah.
And probably jealousy, it is just a manifestation of craving.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not probably. Jealousy is a manifestation of craving.
Yeah.
One of the different manifestation of craving. So, people can enjoy it in a very pervert way. Let's put it this way. That's why about jealousy. But of course, it's not healthy, probably, to do.
Yeah, I've never actually been
very jealous.
I don't really feel that jealous most of the time. I mean, when I drink, I do feel bad, and then those emotions start. But I don't know, for the most part, do you feel jealousy?
No.
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 You try not, but do you avoid
it?
Don't. Because
I just don't.
Because that's what I'm trying to say is like jealousy. You should also just experience it, feel it, feel that it's there. Breathe through it, and then.
I'm a friend said this is very naive to think. Like, how do you think? How do you believe that people in the 21st century, like practically think this way? Like, I am a beginner meditator, but I meditate a lot.
Yeah.
I meditate 2 hours a day almost, every day, okay? And this is precisely what my meditation teaches me. Just breathe through it and observe your sensation.
Yeah.
Okay, this is precisely what it is. Yet for me, it's very fucking hard to do it in my, to put it, apply in my everyday life.
Yeah.
Can you fucking imagine for people that are hooked up on Instagram, breathe through it, ma vaffanculo, what are you saying? This is very impractical to think.
But how do we help them?
Sorry? How do we help?
Can you? I mean,
let's do it.
Can we do something? I mean, we're doing the podcast.
I mean, first of all, if you,
because that was also what we were talking about today. How do people not experience these things? How do people not want to know? Just like us, like we started this podcast, right? We want to know,
podcast. That's good. We want to know
conversation.
Conversation with friends.
Platform.
Okay.
A conversation with friends. All right. You started the podcast.
Nah, shut up. Keep on going.
Okay. Well, like we were talking about it. Why do people not want to know about this? Like, I want to explore this. I want to.
In general, more things.
I want to find out why the fuck I'm not perfect. You know, I want to find out why the fuck I'm.
It's a good
jealous,
point of view.
Why
it's
the
a
fuck
good
I'm,
point of view.
But so many people just don't give a shit.
Okay.
Flying fuck.
Okay.
And just like if you googled whatever, a meditation, you'd find immediately you can breathe through things. You can breathe through your emotions. But nobody is fucking interested. Or at least a lot of people just drink every day. And like nobody's interested in being perfect. You're always interested in like perfecting yourself, right?
Okay.
But getting getting to the bottom, why I'm not getting everything out of life, right? A lot of people, I mean, there are a lot of aware people, more aware than me and you together.
Of course.
But there is also a gap of, let's say, 80% of our population, which is just completely not interested.
I would say of our generation.
Of our generation.
Probably because with time,
I
want to believe,
maybe
naively, that with time this is something that comes up.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Yeah.
There are people for who comes
earlier. So our age group.
Yes.
Let's say our age group. Our generation age group. Yeah. Our generation. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I want to believe that with time it comes naturally.
Yeah.
For someone earlier, for some other people later. But the answer. Probably disappointing to your question. Why don't people are interested? It's precisely what we said before. Because good things take time. And investigating in the nature of your imperfections and how you can mitigate this imperfection, how you can improve onto these imperfections takes time. And it's effortful.
Yeah.
Like it requires a lot of effort, a lot of attention and commitment to it. And how can it be, not how it can be, that it kind of makes sense that our generation is not into this kind of stuff because we are into brief things. We are the generation of the 15 second content and then move on.
Yeah.
So a question that you pose yourself that maybe only for formulating it properly takes a week. Because trust me, or maybe days, because trust me that for the past year and a half, that I've been posing myself a shit ton of questions, there were times I was thinking about stuff and questions of myself that only after a couple of days that I've been thinking about them, you know, in my mind, in the back of my mind, more consciously, more actively, after a couple of days I could properly state the question or the argument or the topic that I was interested into in developing myself. So.
Yeah.
If this takes already some time,
if this takes time,
if the investigation takes way more time, do you think that people are hooked up
are not even bother to? Yeah,
that's unfortunate. That's the disappointing. That's probably
it's
my.
It's the
that's
instant
my
gratification of not having to know. And,
this is my disappointing answer, which disappoints me. But I hope it's a disappointing answer.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope that it can be different. How can we help? Well, simply, okay, already by talking about it, and I think exposing these topics, these truths, because...
To the world, I mean...
Because it is true...
That's what our podcast is about.
Exactly.
Back to the Stone Age. We go back to a time where you were not inebriated all the time. You were not hooked on Prada, Louis Vuitton. You're not hooked on your Instagram account.
Status, anything.
Back to the Stone Age means we take it back to the principles, and the principles are family, for example, relationships,
knowledge, passion.
Passion.
Finding something that you are meaningfully willing to spend your life on pursuing.
Yeah.
Whether it is collecting fucking flowers, okay, which is fine, or it is going to the moon, discovering the cure of cancer. It can be anything, but there has to be exactly. Sorry, this is the other point that is completely terrible in this whole matter. Is that people not only tend to fall back on this vicious cycle, but this vicious cycle also imply that people do not develop any of these interests, are not driven towards anything. So many times I happen to see at university what I study econometrics, and many other times I met people from other fields. So many times that people go to university because they said, okay, why not trying this degree?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, good that you're doing it. But in general,
I did.
How? Okay.
I did a degree.
Okay.
Which I didn't like.
Okay. How can it be that people less and less are interested in something that is a passion for them, that is a reason to spend time and effort and commitment?
Yeah.
Because good things take time, and we are the generation of very short time, of the brief time.
Yeah.
And that's
Well, the question,
what can we do? No.
What can we? Well, how already, can we help them?
Okay, already talking about this, already exposing ourselves
to
this, so exposing ourselves and these topics, I think it's the first step. Because if people come encounter...
isn't it also that
this talk, at least they might identify themselves in some of the things that you just said.
Yeah, but
maybe.
Isn't it also that if we talk about it, and if we say no one listens, and maybe we have one viewer sometimes, but...
is likely because nobody listens to me.
Nobody listens to me anyway in life.
Right? So, what do you say?
That people all at one point come to us, you know, for help.
Yeah, that would be
you
nice.
You need to. Life comes from you, you know, not at you. That's again the.
Well, I would say that the first step is for people to start being aware of their limitation and the fact that most often than not there is an addiction problem with social media first.
Yeah.
Second of all, there might be an addiction problem with something else. Yeah. Here in Amsterdam, I personally know some people about something like weed, as small as weed.
Yeah.
Alcohol, for example, we have Florence, our case study, which is not addicted, but let's say he's struggling to give up.
Yeah, I'm struggling to give up alcohol.
Struggling very hard to give up alcohol. So, it's, as you can see, like it's common to have these sort of problems. So, the thing is, identify yourself. If you identify yourself in any of what we're saying, at least take a consciousness of it. Take be aware of it and know that a solution there is. And first of all, if you want to change, because if you don't want to change, just like, go do something else. Because this talk then is speaking in English. But if you don't want to change it, know that there is a solution.
And it's important to know that we also called it the back to the Stone Age, because, you know, we're not that different from 10,000 years ago. And our bodies, our brains and bodies are not that different from...
Okay, not that different, but see,
And our world has changed, has very rapidly evolved. And... maybe our bodies and minds aren't fully equipped for this rapid change, you know? Maybe our bodies are not equipped to eat, have a dopamine hit when you eat sugar-filled, heavily processed cake from the Albert Heijn, you know? Yeah, like your system tells you, your body tells you, I need more. Because there might not be any tomorrow, you know? But the fridge is full, you know? there's still leftover pizza from yesterday in the fridge. And then you need more, you know? No, but this is our Neanderthal or whatever it's called. Back, yeah, this is our genes. These are our genes.
Okay.
And the world has rapidly evolved.
Okay, well, we surely have evolved with the world. Because I do believe that our brains are surely better equipped. Luca, I'm going to give two interpretations. The first one is that we have evolved and developed with the world itself. Yeah. Because our brains are better equipped to deal with the amount of information that is being processed every day, which is gargantuan. Okay. But I might agree that the amount of information and stimuli that has been created in the years now is increasing at such an increasing and exponential increasing pace that our generational and age group sense of disorientation, sense of lost, being lost, don't know what to do in life, don't know what you like,
yeah,
don't have a passion, not having, just being hooked up on social media and stuff, is probably our human reaction to the sense of being overwhelmed,
yeah,
by this amount of information. This, yeah, is my compassionate and kind interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do understand it.
But give me your non-kind interpretation.
Oh, no, no, sorry. No, the non-kind, it's not a non-kind. It's simply the fact that we have developed accordingly.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a non-kind. And the non-kind is a sort of a... I will say it because...
Fuck it.
Yeah, why not? Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, I would say, not conspiracies way, but I do believe that our society has developed. And about this, I want to talk with Haisha Rapping, which is my one of the most smartest people that I've fucking ever met in Amsterdam in my life.
Yeah.
We are actually having a talk with her, I swear to God.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this, and the fact is that our society developed in such a consumeristic way that everything that hooks up someone is good for the big players, which are the big companies, which are the states. Why? Because if you have a population which is hooked up on stuff,
yeah,
social media, pornography, drugs, anything else that you can hook up people on,
yeah,
then that piece of the population is more easy, is simpler to manipulate, and thus
they're slaves.
Exactly.
They're slaves to your product.
Exactly. To your product or to whatever is that you want to implement or whatever, yeah, is that to whatever are your purposes.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the, not conspiracy stuff, but I do believe that pornography, social media, drugs, no, maybe drugs not, but pornography and social media especially are being developed so much because people realize the big players, so like the big companies and governments, realize how much powerful it is. To hook up people on them.
Yeah.
And like, if you have a population which is hooked up on something, you have way more power on them.
And that what you're saying is, if you're,
and it's completely, if you're evil, all, it's completely,
if you're
evil,
at all dependent or hooked up on anything, you're essentially a slave to your
stimuli. That's what I am telling you, Florence, yeah, when we talk about women, which is probably, yeah, something that we can talk about later,
yeah,
or in conversation too.
Yeah. Well, how long have we been going?
It's 50 minutes.
50?
50, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever, well, let's not think about it.
You want to keep going?
Let's not think about it.
Okay, I want to take a piss.
Right. 50 okay. minutes.
I can do it on camera.
Break. Right, we just left off talking about the society before the pee break. Talking about the society and the fact that once
pulled my cock out.
Die, France. Let's put this on YouTube.
What? Oh, YouTube.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So we are talking about why are we even recording the video?
Yeah, no, it's completely right. I thought we had like a, there was a podcast forum or something.
Yeah, I'm putting it on Spotify, yeah, and Apple Podcasts.
And our logo was Amor. Amori Fati?
Franz, let's talk about it later, okay?
No, I wanna know.
What?
I wanna know. What was our logo? Like, you had a black and then the...
Yes, a Latin sense. But we can change that. We can change it whenever, so...
No, it's fine.
We can change it. Never mind.
Die.
Okay.
Alright. We're talking about the society, yes. Society.
Die. Alright. Yeah, what we were saying, what my conspiracy theory was, that,
yes,
society wants pretty much us to be hooked up because we are more easily manipulable. We are more easily we can dictate more easily what to do.
Yeah.
And okay, I don't want to get specific into cases because that gets really controversial.
Yeah.
And I am afraid of that. No, that gets really controversial.
Why not? Nobody's gonna see it anyways.
No. Yeah, that's true. But still, if anyone does, that is controversial as fuck. Okay. So that is pretty much my point of view with society. That's why I fucking hate it, and like in a good way, in the sense that I love the people, because people make society, but I don't love it, let's say, as a unity. Okay, I love the many. Oh, this is actually something that I want to ask you now.
Right.
I love the many, because is the many that compose the society, and society is the one, but I don't love the one. And now I'm asking you, is the universe to you? Big switch. Is the universe a one or a many?
Oh, good one. I believe we're all unity. And
this is not my question, Flo. Like, is this a step towards replying to my question? Because my question is the universe a one or a many?
Okay. Reinform you in that question then. What are you asking me specifically?
Alright, so
is the universe
a one?
Yeah, or a many?
Or a many.
Yes.
Okay, I will try to explain it.
Yeah.
You can look at the universe, or any system in general, as a system, I mean, this bag, a ball of hair, this microphone, anything.
Yeah.
A black hole, anything. A system can be described by its component, the many.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if a system does not have many components, it has only one component, it means that it is fundamental. And it is, strictly speaking, in physics, we would call it an elementary...
I'm struggling, bro!
An elementary... we would call it an elementary particle. Look, listen, stay with me another minute. So, we can describe Florence as the set of all attributes that make Florence as such. Or we can just say, well, Florence is the unity encompassing all the attributes that make up Florence.
Yeah.
But it's a one. And so, let's put it this way. Do you see the universe as a composition of many things, all different from each other? Or do you believe that actually the universe is a whole single thing?
A whole single thing. Okay. The universe is a whole thing.
It's a very philosophical question. Like, it's not
a very philosophical question.
Like, of course it is.
I need to have thought about that.
Okay, I will. Yeah. I can tell you mine if you want.
Yeah.
I mean, mine.
Tell me.
Not that it's anything original, but I do believe. I do like to see the universe as a one, because it gives me, as you said, the sense of unity. So the fact that this is something that I didn't tell you, but if you look at things as one, then what you are probably implying is that everything is also connected among each other.
Yeah.
If you see a system as many, then you are describing it, as a disjoint union. This is a purely mathematical term. A disjoint union of its attributes, characteristics, properties. Okay, and you are not really looking at the picture as a whole. You are not really connecting the parts of it. Okay, whereas I do believe that by looking at the universe as a one, as unity, we might perceive the interrelatedness of all its pieces, which are us, and all the things that compose us.
You know, what you're talking about here is very powerful. The thing with it is, I believe that what you're saying, and you're the smartest kid I know, mathematician, and you relativate those things, right? To something. You're relativating it in mathematical terms, you know?
Yeah.
You're trying to make sense of it, right?
Yes.
And
what I strongly believe and what gave me a lot of power in a period where I was really struggling after my breakup and stuff. I was really struggling. And my mom gave me this book. It's called Conversations with God, right? And this book is, it's such an amazing explanation for what you just said, for the interconnected relationships of people. What that book tells me is, it's not a Christian book, it's not an Islamic book, it's not a religious book. It's about God. And God has, say, created the universe. Yeah? Let's say the universe is created. And God, and there was an entity. And God, why did he choose to create the universe? Because God chooses to experience himself in physical form. Let's say, you know? God chooses to experience itself in physical form. And what are those physical forms? That is you and that is me, right? Those physical forms, that is the trees, that those are the animals who walk around. What does that tell me, and what has the book taught me? That in turn, we are a physical representation of God itself. You see what I'm saying? And that means that you are God. You are a piece of God, because it's trying to experience itself in physical form, God. And what I'm trying to say is, you are talking about this unity. My unity means that each and every person in the world is a part of God and is interconnected in that way, because you are a unit. You are God. If you are a physical embodiment of godliness. That's why he created life for itself, and that's why you're interconnected, and that's why you can always tap into your godly power, let's say, right? There's always a choice to be made. There's always a, how do I explain this? There's always a godliness which you can talk to, you can tap into that godliness. He's always there. And just like my hangover today. Just let me relativate it. I had a moment where I was saying, let today be today, you know? I'm just gonna get through this day because I'm a hangover and I'm not gonna do anything. I'm gonna watch a movie, maybe go to the gym and watch movies all day long. That's what I wanted to do, right? And then I consciously thought, I was on the toilet okay, Florence, you have a godly choice now to make. You can now tap into that power, into that unity, because you are God, and you can choose to make a godly decision now. And I tapped into that. And now we're here. Fuck, I'm recording this. What is God to you? God to me is everybody. God is not Jesus Christ. God is not. Those are. You know what those people are?
Greeting to Jesus Christ. Not to
Jesus Christ. Fuck it. All my Muslims out there.
No, greeting to Allah. Mohammed, Jesus.
You know, I firmly believe those people. No. Let me talk. Yeah. Hey, you talk 5 hours. Die.
Now wait a second, but I made you a question. Yeah. Okay. I asked again the question.
Okay. No,
these
no,
people
ask
what?
Ask me the question. Ask me the question.
Now these people what?
No, ask me the question.
Okay, what is God? You said everybody. Okay.
So, what I'm saying, those people, Jesus Christ, or Mohammed, or the
Siddhartha Gautama,
whatever. Right? Those people. I firmly believe that those guys have figured out this, have What?
Have risen to a certain amount of awareness in their life, where they surround, where they send so much out. Life comes from them, you know, and which attracts so many people. Mm-hmm. And I firmly believe that they have figured out that this is godliness, that everybody is God around them.
Agreed.
And they have been ostracized for it, right? They have been hung, they have been whatever.
No, wait a second.
No, no.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Crucified.
He's been crucified.
Hung. Siddhartha Gautama did not get hung. No, neither, no, neither Muhammad.
Jesus Christ got crucified, right?
Yeah. Hang. Like a witch.
No. It's hard for people. I think it's hard for people. People always need a scapegoat.
Something to praise.
People always need like... life can't be perfect. Nobody can accept that life can be perfect. That life can... Okay. Wait, let me... finish it. Life can be perfect and you're allowed to be perfect because you're always trying to experience your utmost high godliness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think those people have figured it out, but the people that have written about them have not figured it out.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
I agree.
And that is where religion comes from. They have the people that write about those people have not figured out that life can be perfect, that you are a godly embodiment, and I don't think this was their legacy. I think God has put them on earth to teach us, just like you and I have been put, you have been put on this earth. I always regard you as a teacher. You know why I give you those glasses? Because no, I regard you.
Florence bought me these glasses.
Yeah, I bought you expensive glasses. You know why? Because I consider you of immensely added value. I consider you to be talking to your godly energy way more than any other kid my age, right? Any other kid my age, I swear to God, right? That's why I give you those glasses, because I want to share with you. I don't even think about the price. You wanted the other sunglasses. You saw them and you liked them. I said, look, have them. Please have them. Because I like to keep you in my life. And I consider you to be a godly teacher who has been put on this earth for me and for other people, of course. But I'm going to get as much information out of you as possible before we leave this earth. Yeah. And so,
I fully agree.
So that is what God is to me. That is what the unity means to me. Everybody in this world is a unity because you're God.
Boom
yes.
Baby, boom. Shakalaka.
I like that. You like that?
Yeah, it was nice.
You like that explanation?
It was, nice. It was good. Okay, yeah. Look, I do fully agree with you for what you said about them, like Jesus Christ, Buddha, Mohammed.
Yeah.
I believe that religion that were instilled on their name is kind of, let's say, the need of people to have someone to praise, because people should not be praising someone, but they should be practicing what they were praising. God, Muhammad, and Buddha, they were praising absolute love. They were preaching and they were practicing absolute love
absolute
towards
love.
Everyone, unconditional, absolute compassion. Their followers did, many of them, sure, but many of them also did not. And that's the bad thing about religion, which is human. It's a human product. Those people, to be honest, I wouldn't know whether, because to me humans are intrinsically bad, like are intrinsically malevolent, have an intrinsic malevolent gene inside them, let's say.
And why is that?
And why, wait a second, and they somewhat got rid of that. And they were pure love. They were enlightenment and compassion, fully. Okay, and that is something which is interesting to think about. How did they achieve that? I mean, we know that because, for example, Buddha, like the type of meditation that I practice is called Vipassana meditation, and
it is the meditation that Buddha discovered and he practiced and preached for the rest of his life. And he reached enlightenment through that. He practiced it for like years straight after, without interruption. So that's the thing.
Buddha is a perfect example of a person who's been an enlightened teacher who has been put on this earth to teach people, to help people reach that. Yo, how about you?
Hi.
I can see myself.
Okay.
I'm such a fucking vain. But okay, what I wanted to say still about that is why do people can't accept that shit can be perfect? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, but... Okay, wait a second. Probably. Like, accepting that shit can be perfect is one of the characteristics that those three men that we just mentioned achieved.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that led to their enlightenment.
Yeah.
Like, they achieved the fact that they knew that life couldn't be perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And they just went through it.
Yeah.
They just passed this acknowledgement, this awareness, and just kept on going. Being more and more and more aware of everything they could be aware of.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's
so that's all gods, right?
God.
You don't believe in God?
To be honest, I don't know. Okay, let's put it this way. What I believe is this. I believe that there is a... Okay, probably this is a more scientific way to put it. But that is the language with which I describe things best. But it can also be interpreted more spiritually. God is the description of the reality which we humans cannot and will never be able to understand because of our intrinsic construction of our finite and limited brain. Thus, God is those phenomena that are outside
comprehension,
rationality, comprehension.
Yeah.
And one may say, well, there are many things in science which are incomprehensible by humans. Now, that's my thing. Now, like even 100 years ago, we had some questions about science, which we didn't know. So what are you saying? Is that those questions was God? No, I'm saying that cannot be achieved. Meaning, take a question now that can never be achieved by human understanding. Then that is one of sort of a question of God. Let's put it this way. Take a question now that maybe in 1 million years, if humankind will still be here, but we will not be. But if human beings will be here in 1 million years and they will achieve this understanding, then that is not a question of God. And for this, I want to introduce you to Gödel incompleteness theorem.
Okay.
It's the greatest crossover of my life, introducing Florence to one of the best logician of the 20th century.
Mathematical.
All right, Gödel's incompleteness theorem says something which is very simple.
Yeah.
Mathematics is a system of axioms. Yeah. Do you know what an axiom is?
Axiom, yeah, it's already happened. it's like a given.
Kinda, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Axiom is a self-evident truth that does not require explanation or proof.
Yeah, okay.
So something that you postulate
and
you say, this is true. I don't need to prove it. This is obvious.
Yeah, obvious. Okay.
Okay. Mathematics is an axiomatic science. It means that every branch of mathematics starts from some assumption that mathematicians agree to be reasonable. And from those axioms, think of the axioms as the Lego. The pieces. You compose the Lego pieces, these axioms, that you can build things.
You can build a house.
Exactly. The house that you build, the things that you build, are the theorems, the propositions, the statement, are what you can say about reality.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
okay, the mathematical reality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And you only start from self-evident truth. And it's simply the recombination of these things. Gödel said that any system of axioms, of these Lego pieces, that is, I think, that is consistent, meaning that within this system, you will never be able to prove a statement and its negation. So you will never be able... Mathematics, let's put it this way, is consistent if, this is a very rough example, is consistent if it does not prove that Flo is a person and Flo is not a person. Because only one of the things, two things must be the case, right? Because either you are a person or you are not.
Yeah.
If mathematics, our system of axioms, by the rearrangement of these axioms, comes to say Flo is a person, and then with another arrangement comes to say Flo is not a person, then our system is not consistent.
No.
So if a system is consistent, it is now I don't kind of remember the term, but it cannot prove every true statement within it.
Yes.
Meaning that you will never be that there are some statement, some truth about the mathematical reality, some construction of with the Lego pieces, that you will never be able to demonstrate that you can prove it, prove them.
Yeah.
Or that, sorry, that you can never be able to demonstrate that they are true.
Yeah.
So, again, a very trivial example. We will never be able to say that Flo is God.
Yeah.
Through the axiom of mathematics, we cannot say Flo is God.
Yeah.
If this is true, which might be, we will never be able to say it.
Yeah.
So there are truths in the mathematical reality that we cannot prove with our axioms. And it is a fundamental limit to the capacity of human... Because think that this is like at the very root of mathematics. This is logic. This is the theory of logic.
Yeah.
This says that we have a fundamental limitation through our... And mathematics is at the bottom of every science. Okay. We have a fundamental limitation on describing, okay, the mathematical reality.
Yeah.
And that's something that I believe... I often tend to generalize. It highlights the limitation of the human brain in processing through the mathematical formulation of its surrounding, because our language to understand our surrounding is mathematics, because this is how we understand the world and the mathematical realities. This language is limited because we developed it with our limited and finite brain.
Yeah.
To understand God means to go beyond mathematics and go beyond the rational. Because everything that is mathematics or related to...
Hey!
Doggo!
Hello!
Everything that is...
Hey!
Everything that is related to mathematics is rational.
Yeah.
Everything that is not is irrational.
Yeah.
So, that is my thing.
But my question...
This theorem, to me, says that there are... things that we humans will never be able to comprehend.
Yeah.
Probably, said very brutally, probably that is God. Or it is simply a fundamental limitation of our brain. But I like to think that where we humans cannot understand, there must be a higher form of intelligence, of power, energy, if it makes sense, higher forms of something.
Yeah.
That like we can simply do not grasp.
Yeah.
That is what I believe. But I like to think there is. I like to think there is something bigger than me.
Okay, but let's say there are laws to a universe, to the universe.
Sorry, there are.
Let's say we can deduce it.
Deduce what?
Let's say. Jesus Christ has deduced it, right? Or Muhammad, the prophet, or whatever, right? Let's say there are certain laws
of our universe. That is irrational. Florence, what they did is completely irrational. Because there is no mathematical explanation or scientific explanation for what Buddha, at least because I know better Buddha, for what Buddha achieved.
Yeah.
The enlightenment cannot be described in mathematics. And people who experienced a sense of liberation through the teaching of the Buddha all reported, and I've read a book about this, all reported that this description, this feeling and sensation of liberation is something that goes beyond words. Yeah. It cannot be put into words. It cannot be described. Okay. It can only be lived.
But that
but
is proof.
This is irrational.
But let's say those people
no,
are
irrational, not insane. Irrational in the sense that cannot be described by mathematics.
Yeah.
And this is our limit. And I under like.
But
say,
they're the proof. They're the Lego.
The thing is.
They're the Lego blocks. Those people.
I mean, okay. Let's put it this way.
They prove.
Okay, they didn't prove it. Because to prove it in a strict sense, you would have to show it that it can generalize. You can generalize it to everyone. What they said, look, this is how I look at them in a very simple way. They didn't do anything complicated. They simply said, look, this is was my way to find my truth, to find the truth, and to live fully enlightened after that. That is the way. They say just this.
Yeah.
That is the way.
Yeah.
That is what I did.
Yeah.
If you want to follow my path, that is the way. Yeah. I'm teaching you. Okay? That is not sort of a proof. It's simply, or let's say, it is a testimonial that something beyond rationality can be achieved. I agree, it's a testimonial. It's not a proof.
Yeah.
So I agree that this has strong evidence on the fact that, not strong evidence, it's very clear to me that there is surely something more than mathematics and scientific explanation. They don't say what is it, because they said it's undescribable. You cannot put into words, but they said, if you want to experience, this is the way.
Yeah. And
this is fucking amazing.
And it's fucking amazing.
It's fucking
it's
cool.
It's fucking amazing. Cool as fuck. Right? But
it's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. It's unbelievable somebody can achieve that. And you know, I want to say is how I imagine it and how I prove it to myself. And it's the way I just told you, actually, is that I actually, whatever you want to do, in whatever way,
Water.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
When, you however you want to do it, I do it in my way. I'm going to explain you my way. What I physically do and imagine is, I imagine this box above my head, and there's a guy standing inside that box, and it's my consciousness. I physically imagine my consciousness standing above me and talking to him. And I physically am, and he always gives me an answer. He always gives me the right answer, right? Yeah, for us, you shouldn't drink that drink, or you shouldn't smoke that ciggy, or you shouldn't eat that, or you do that. That feels better. I can always tap into that anywhere I choose not to. I choose not to lead with my godliness.
How
right?
do you do that?
I just said to you, I imagine a guy in a box above my head, and he always makes the right. He always makes the right decision, and that is God. That is God, because you are God. You are God. You are the embodiment of God, right? And that's why he's always there. He's always, people say, where is God? He's always there. He is, I don't talk enough with him, definitely. And I definitely don't listen to enough to my godliness. And I definitely abuse myself way too much. But just now when I was on the toilet, you were standing in front of me, you're saying, let's record this fucking podcast. Right, let's do this. And I was not talking with my godly energy. I was saying, I'm tired, I don't wanna, can we do it another time, right? I'm having the best time ever now, right? And I was on the toilet and I choose to say, what is my godliness doing now? What does my godliness say to me right now? And my godliness immediately told me the right answer. My godliness immediately said, go with him.
Okay, I understand. But can I ask you something, and this kind of reconnects to what we were talking about before. We were talking about addiction, society, our generation.
Yeah.
Then how is that almost objectively, now I am not one to say that this is objective, but the majority of people would agree with me that most of our fellow peers of our generation constantly, every day, make the worst decision for their future, life, passion, interest, family, sake, health,
yeah.
anything. Scrolling, drinking, taking drug, being sloppy, not going to the gym, not working out.
Yeah.
Okay, how is that? Because, okay, I understand your point, like, this is what you're telling me, and I cannot doubt it. Like, it's not that I can question it, but then what I wonder is, how is
if
that
if he's always there, why aren't people...
Okay, no, not really that, but why is it that people are less connected to this God?
To this God.
To this voice.
To
which
their,
I understand.
Their own godliness.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Why? Okay, why? Why is it that we are less connected with our godliness?
That's a good question.
Ba-bam.
Ba-bam, you shoot back at me, yeah? You shoot back at
friend
me.
Fire.
Why is it?
Why is it?
You choose not to? People choose not to? They... It's a good question. I think there are so many facets to that, so many aspects to that question. I mean,
we develop the no, it's not about development, sorry. I think it's it can be very strongly attributed to the working of our society. And not really society 20th century, but society of humankind. Mm. Because if you think about it, even in the Roman Empire, fucking Julius Caesar was benefiting if people were hooked up on something. Okay, if you could manipulate the opinion of people better. So it's not about us Western countries or our world right now. In general, human societies have been developed so that the less people are in touch with their own godliness, the more easy is for these people to follow the one screaming the most.
It's not easy. I know.
Okay.
I know. But he's always there. In each and every one of us. Even the people who control us, who even the people who force those social media platforms down our throats, even those people can choose to be in touch with their godly energy. Everybody has a fucking choice. Everybody can tap into that energy. And can always... It doesn't have... Everybody can. I think everybody can. And I think what you're saying is... You're saying is... It's society's fault. Say, right? Say, like...
I mean, it's sort of intrinsic in the human nature of organization in communities. Because the ones ruling the communities have no interest in having... fully and benefit in having fully conscious and aware beings to manipulate, to rule over. Because otherwise, if you are ruling over people that are fully conscious, then you basically cannot do your own interest. You are obliged to do the interests of the people, because the people will understand everything, will be fully aware,
yeah.
Okay, of your bad or good intentions. And that's the thing. Ruling over populations most of the times is for not the actual communal benefits of the people, of the populations. So that's a bit sad view of the human status, I think, from my side.
It's sad.
It is very sad.
It is very sad, and that is the point.
I don't know whether
how can we help them. That how can we help the people. And this is an education for us that we're teaching. But in turn, it's never somebody else's fault, you know? And I mean, you can have very bad parents and you can grow up in a society which forces social media down your throat, and you can grow up in a bad neighborhood and you can be 10 steps behind. Yet everybody has this one thing. And what is that one thing which is given to you? You can talk to your godliness. This is your birthright. This is what you're made of. Everybody can. Everybody
But society has no interest in fostering this.
And you're allowed to do that. Society has
no interest in fostering this.
Yes, but
completely no interest. What is the interest of society? Get like just look at the 50 years, 50 years in the past.
Yeah.
Like what has society invested in getting us hooked up on stuff or getting us freed from misery and suffering?
Yeah.
What like can you see investment in meditation centers, initiatives, religion even?
Yeah.
I mean religion, unfortunately for the sort of not corrupt things, but for the things which are purely economical. So if you want to talk about the Vatican State, it's one very good example. So that's
you would know, you little Italian.
I do know very well.
Yeah.
It's that's the thing. There is no interest.
No interest.
And that's unfortunate. But to wrap up, I think we can.
I think we can, and I only want to say that is, and I'm repeating. No, I'm repeating myself here.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody's birthright, and it is everybody's gift. It's the gift that has been given to you.
Yeah.
It's the gift that has been given to you, and which you can, which is always there. And it's such a shame that people don't feel that birthright, and fully take in that birthright, you know.
Okay, what do you say to people that have listened so far the conversation?
Well, I enjoy this. It's my first time. No, what do you say to people?
No, I'm saying
we're gonna make more episodes.
Sure, but I'm saying sort of as an advice, because if you listened, generally, if there is someone that has listened until now, first of all, I wanna know your fucking name.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I'm sending you.
Email
fucking
one of us. Send it to.
No, literally. Text us wherever you can. I'm gonna give you, I don't know, 15 euros. I don't give a fuck if there is someone, but I don't believe there will be. But if you have listened till now and you have found yourself in the description of what we said so far, and you are somewhat, because if you are happy with where you are, then I am no one to say that you have to change yourself. Like if you are happy with where you are, fucking amazing. I am jealous of you. But if you are slightly unhappy with anything, the first step is to acknowledge it and be aware of it. Be aware that there is a deficiency in the outlook and vision that you want yourself, that you want of yourself. Okay, that is the first step. Okay, it happened to me with regards to study long time ago, with regards to me, with regards to pornography. This we can talk about some other time. I came to be aware of it. About alcohol, I came to be aware of it. About drugs, about smoking weed, I came to be aware of it.
Working out.
The first thing is become aware of it.
Yeah.
Second thing, if it is feeling overwhelming, that you believe none of your peers, of your friends can help you, go ask for help.
Yeah.
Go and see a psychologist, which is an argument that we will surely talk about in the future.
Yes.
And Renzo smiles because we know why, but and a professional help is surely the best decision that you can do. I see a psychologist for the past I've been seeing a psychologist for the past 5 months now, and it is the greatest decision that I made in my 2023, one of the greatest decisions that I made, and I am making constantly by choosing to go and keep on going. But even if you think that it is something trivial and you just want to share, you can reach out to us or to your friends and just be open about it. Back to the Stone Age is this, is move away from your phone. You are listening, probably we seem incoherent because we are recording this and you are listening to it and watching it on your phone, on your laptop, whatever. But just exploit this as a tool of knowledge.
Yeah.
And use it as a tool to get to know other people from which you can get other knowledge and human experiences and human bondings. And we are here for this reason. I am more than welcoming any sort of experience from anyone, as well as Florence. So,
of course.
Yes, I hope.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I hope we educated some people.
First conversation of the Stone Age.
We went to a lot of places, huh?
1 hour and a half almost, yeah.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah.
It was nice, okay.
Okay.
Right.
See you. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.